This is SG2 Perspectives, a conversation with SG2 experts and industry thought leaders about the biggest trends in healthcare and what we all expect that's going to mean for the future of healthcare delivery.
Scaling innovation doesn't necessarily mean bigger. It means tying it more to strategy. It means making sure that it addresses your clinical and strategic aspirations as an organization.
Today on SG2 Perspectives, we have a pretty awesome guest in Chris Cornu, former Chief Strategy and Chief Innovation Officer with Navison Health, along with our very own Henry Sock, principal on our intelligence team and leader of all our clinical technology research. Chris and Henry join us to talk about a terrific event that we just hosted in conjunction with our executive summit in San Francisco titled Innovation, Moving from Silos to Scale. And today we're going to explore how leading organizations are scaling innovation work and specifically some of the organizations that share what they're doing through this event. So, Henry, I'm a millennial, but I'm not really a cool tech guy. You know, when I hear, I don't have a Mac, you know, I don't have the earbuds. When I hear the term innovation in healthcare, that could mean a lot of different things. So for the purposes of this event and SG2's ongoing work with our members, what do we mean when we talk about innovation?
Sure. So again, I don't think I'm a cool tech guy either. So I think if you take the standard definition, it's kind of the idea of a new and scalable solution that addresses a specific problem and is measurable. That's the traditional kind of Clay Christensen innovation framework. And I think that what we've heard in our conversations with SG2 members is they've been a little bit disappointed that they haven't been able to take full advantage of their innovation efforts. If you look at the Christensen model, you look at sustainable innovation, which is kind of how do you continue to support the existing business infrastructure, and efficiency innovation, where you talk about processes. I think if you look at healthcare, most of the innovation that we've done in healthcare over the past 15 to 20 years has been around efficiency. Right. So it's all that, it's that alphabet soup that we've heard about, TQM and Six Sigma and Agile. And that's important work. But if we really want to move the needle on care delivery, it doesn't get us where we need to go, I think, in the marketplace today. That's why I think we've been encouraging our member organizations to think more about disruption. And that's what I love what Chris has done in his work with Navicent. So, Chris, maybe talk a little bit about the disruptive aspect and why that's important.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think both of you are selling yourself short. I think you're both techies. Yeah, that's my thought. You know, when we were thinking about innovation in Navison Health, we really were looking towards what the end goal is going to be, and that's to create change. And we felt that it was important that we were able to define disruption and innovation, which is why we put together the Center for Disruption and Innovation. And again, SG2 has been in the space for several years talking about disruption, which is any force, internal, external, that has the ability to fundamentally alter a clinical or a business model. And that's kind of what we grounded everything on. And so if we can be disruptive or make sure that we are not being disrupted ourselves, that helps us to kind of deliver that innovation, which is what you do in order to get the disruption. And then that leads to change.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I think in the conversations that we've had with our members, so the big issue, and we see this more often, is innovation used to be a standalone kind of function within the organization, kind of out there, and the innovation team was totally bought into that. I think what we're seeing in our conversation with members now is the integration of innovation with strategy. Mm. The idea of a chief strategy and innovation officer, I think, is taking hold in the organization. And part of what we talked about at Exec Summit this year is just that concept about why it's important to have innovation tied to your strategy, why it's important to tie it to your culture, and why it's important to make sure that the innovation efforts are tied to your overall aspirations as a healthcare organization. Scaling innovation doesn't necessarily mean bigger. It means tying it more to strategy. It means making sure that it addresses your clinical and strategic aspirations as an organization going forward.
And all of this to make sure that you are having long-term sustainable results as well, because otherwise it's going to be fragmented and you won't have the results you need.
And also, I think, as you mentioned earlier, I think to protect yourself from some of the external disruptors that I think may have an impact, and we're seeing more and more concern from our health system members about the potential impact of industry disruptors too.
Right. Chris, you had an exciting title during your time at Navison, Chief Strategy and Chief Innovation Officer. So how were you able to bring these together. You talked about this a little bit when you presented at the Exact Summit event.
Yeah. So, and you know, Henry has said now it's common to have chief strategy innovation officer. So I thought it was pretty cool at the time, but apparently everybody's doing it now. When the CEO asked me to come down there as the chief strategy officer, I said, you know, it's important for us to think about how we are going to be doing things differently. And so we had talked about the innovation perspective. And so that's why we came up with, at that time anyway, the chief strategy and chief innovation officer role. The strategies you end up developing that are going to guide the organization towards that longer term output need to be different, and you need innovation to help refine what those look like. And so think about horizon scanning. You know, the better opportunity we have to understand how to form the strategies based upon horizon scanning or looking differently at things is going to be very important. Similarly, innovation will only be successful if it's tied directly to those individual strategies. Because if people are off on their own doing their own innovation, but it doesn't necessarily help the organization to get towards their end goals, then that's not going to be very effective. And you're just going to have a lot of loose innovation that's incremental, which is okay in a lot of ways, but it's not tied together and it's not necessarily taking the ship where it needs to go. So that's the purpose for having the two of them linked together. And I think that during the time that I was at Madison Health, I think that it worked very well together because people had some clarity around the innovation we were doing because it was tied directly to it. And actually, when we consider different types of innovation, we always had as one of those initial prioritizations, does that match one of our strategic guiding objectives? And if it didn't, then we didn't pursue it. And I think it's just as important to say what we're not going to pursue as it is to go ahead and say what we are going to pursue.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I think you've done it so well there, Chris. I mean, it's amazing. The structure and the way that everything kind of came together, I think what we've seen a lot is incremental innovation. We kind of move the needle, small innovation stuff. Mm-hmm. And anyone that you talk with in the future about kind of the challenges that we're going to face in healthcare, the rapid pace of change in healthcare, the technological evolution that's going to support some of that change, I think recognizes that we've got to take innovation up to the next step where you're not talking about a 10% incremental improvement in a process or something like that. You need to be talking in the realm of 10 times improvement or 100 times improvement in what's going on around innovation to just address the concerns that I think we've got.
People think about innovation as really being the tech and the technology and the cool thing, which is all true. But you know, the way that we thought about it there is that innovation isn't just the technology. It's also process changes, care delivery. It's looking at the different ways that you can have sustainable and bigger impact across the organization. And yeah, I frequently said that just putting a new technology on top of a dysfunctional system, you still have a dysfunctional system. And so you've got to address the underlying thing, which is when we formed our Center for Disruption and Innovation, we also had some of the continuous improvement pieces in it to begin with to help take the waste out and look at some of the care redesign as well. So it's kind of very broad. It's not just one specific thing, which is why I think some people have a struggle with kind of how they go into it and what they end up doing, but it needs to be kind of the broader picture of things.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. I mean, I think one of the risks that you have is this issue that Chris mentioned about the shiny new object stuff. One of the points that I tried to make this year at all of our conferences, as Chris said, is it's not about the technology. The technology is important, but in my view, technology provides two things. Technology is an accelerator. So if you apply it correctly, it can accelerate your efforts in terms of quality improvement and in terms of your innovation efforts. But also it's a force multiplier. So if you apply technology the right way, the span of control of a single healthcare provider can be broadened dramatically through the appropriate use of technology. Right. So you can address a much wider population.
Yeah, excellent points. Excellent points.
Well, two other presentations that took just a slightly different tack at that same question were from MD Anderson, where they talked about solving patient problems and not just being the ideas people as the innovation team, but really helping usher that through all the steps needed to make it reality in the organization. And then PCCI talking about building an ecosystem to bring about innovative change. Chris, what were a couple key things you took away from those? What were a couple pieces that really struck a chord for you?
Rebecca Call was able to talk about how she has focused on really creating change at their organization. And there's a couple of things that really stood out. One is, in the end, if you can't scale it, it doesn't matter. That's one of the things that she said. And it's true. And during my talk, I mentioned scaling is important, but it's very, very, very hard. And there's lots of examples of how we've tried our best to be able to do that. And we've had some successes, but it's very hard to do. So that comment I thought was great. And the example she used was Edison creating the light bulb, because it wasn't really impactful until it was scaled widely, right? So that's a great example that she brought up, which was perfect. And she also mentioned the point about making the right question, asking the right question, and understanding exactly what it is you're looking to do, which I think all of us, you guys at SG2, but then also anybody who's leading innovation, you know that it's important to get the right question asked to begin with. And so therefore you focus on it. The other point that I thought was awesome is the fact that she talked about this pilot purgatory. And, you know, I know that we're smiling here. I can tell you probably everybody who's listening to this is smiling about that as well. And part of it is also making sure, going back to the right question, because you have to understand what it is you're looking to achieve instead of just going ahead and doing it. A pilot well thought out is going to be the most successful one, because you're thinking about the right stakeholders, the champions, you're thinking about the right outcomes, you're thinking about all the different components of it. And so she really hit hard on the importance of that pilot purgatory, but then bringing it back to making sure that you're focusing on the question. So I thought that those are two great points that she had brought up. And again, MD Anderson's doing wonderful work at that around innovation, which is great. Around PCCI, Leslie Wainwright, wonderful XG2er, also working with another XG2er, Steve Miff, they have done a really nice job at putting in place an innovation engine that is tied to one of the largest health systems down there in Texas. And they've done a really nice job at really creating an ecosystem. And that was the basis of Leslie's talk. And I love the concept that she talked about the ecosystem, because again, if you're thinking about an ecosystem, that's the ability to be able to create something that then has the most impact. And one of the quotes that she mentioned is the trust and collaboration ecosystems create aid in getting innovations to scale, which I thought was a great point that she had brought up. Again, she had mentioned several examples, but if I think about Navison Health and what we were doing, that again ties very closely to making sure that you have that right ecosystem in place. And then the other thing that kind of came across was just the opportunity for the audience to hear about PCCI and the work they're doing. What I love about PCCI is it's grounded again in a safety net hospital that is giving back to the community and is helping to elevate the health of the community. So they're dealing with disparities, they're dealing with health equity, but they're also dealing with people who are uninsured. And so it's very important that they are creating the right solutions that are going to be able to help elevate the health of the community. PCCI is doing a really good job around a lot of that stuff. Tons of examples around asthma, around maternal health, et cetera. So anyway, I was very impressed with that. Those are a couple of the points that came out.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that impressed me, Chris, about both those presentations was there was a section in both of those presentations, as Chris outlined, about mission-driven innovation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So if you look at, you know, Rebecca's presentation was wonderful to talk about how you get out of, the purgatory of pilot purgatory. But she also addressed the broader MD Anderson mission of curing cancer for everybody around the world.
That's right.
And as Chris pointed out, with the PCCI implementation, they are directly connected to the community. And so that idea of, I think too often we think about innovation as it relates to, and the thing that I like to try and focus on is the difference between what we've been doing, which I term inside out innovation, where we're thinking about it from the perspective of us as a healthcare organization, right. As opposed to outside in innovation, which is from the consumer perspective or from the patient's perspective. I think we have to get beyond using the term patient, because more and more we're going to be dealing with these people when they aren't sick.
That's right.
So it's more around the health aspects of it. But I like that idea of shifting your mindset away from inside out innovation to outside in innovation. That's the key, I think, to success.
And that's another great example of tying strategy to innovation. So for us, one of our strategic guiding objectives was to engage with consumers in meaningful ways. So what we did is we also tied some of the innovations that we did directly to that strategic guiding objective with some really nice results. So it's another example of where strategy and innovation, again, making sure that you're relying on having answers for consumers, are all in place as well.
And I think that your team, Chris, at Navison, also to kind of leverage on that concept of ecosystem, your team at Navison did a great job in terms of partnering with others to be able to expand your mission in terms of innovation and stuff like that. Any thoughts to share about that, how you built the ecosystem there?
Well, part of it is, again, recognizing that you don't have a lot of FTEs necessarily to do the work. So we had to be incredibly creative. We had a great leader for the CFDI that we brought in and then amazing people on the team. But we also created unique partnerships that helped to expand the work we could do. So SUNY Binghamton, we brought in some of the brightest PhD students for a scholars in residence program that help us as data scientists. That's one example. We had really great partnerships with companies in Israel, a great organization in Australia, but they were able to bring us possible solutions. So again, broadening the ecosystem. And even in our backyard, we had a great opportunity to work with Georgia Tech and ATTC as an incubator and accelerator, helping companies to be successful, as well as all these other startups that we had as part of this. So they were bringing solutions to us. So the ecosystem for us was really big. One, out of necessity, because we didn't have a whole lot of resources from an FTE perspective, but also out of practice, it's the best way to be able to get the best intelligence, the best support into making significant impact for your community. And again, tying it back to those strategic guiding objectives.
Health systems are learning how to do this, but they're still maybe early on the learning curve. So what can we learn from marketing or from life sciences about how to have innovation be really impactful?
So I think, Trevor, that life sciences industries are moving towards looking at innovation differently as we get more into personalized medicine and as we develop unique therapeutic options for individual patients. And they're looking at innovation. So innovation for them always used to be about drug discovery and deployment of drugs. Our conversations with our life sciences group right now focuses more around how can we add value for the people who use those therapies? What data can we bring to the table? What additional services can we bring to the table that makes us a trusted partner for those health systems that want to use that? And they know that they have a lot of data and a lot of expertise in terms of scientists to be able to mine that data. So how can we leverage the intellectual property that we have in the life sciences industry to be able to kind of do that? I think one of the other kind of presentations that we had at the summit in San Francisco was from Dr. Zev Neuwirth. And Zev's written a book around reframing healthcare, and his obsessive focus around changing not just what we think and do, but how we think and do, I think is an interesting message. And I think one that resonated well with the audience there. His whole focus is around transforming healthcare into one that's obsessively focused on the consumer. So it's consumer centric, community oriented. He terms it value-laden and sustainable. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reasons that I love that approach is it reflects the kind of thinking that I think healthcare leaders need in the future about this issue of outside-in innovation, mm-hmm. obsessively focused on the consumer and creating real value for the community.
Yeah. And with regard to Zev, he's a great guy and he's done some really wonderful work, not only just as a physician, but also trying to get this concept and this kind of mantra out there for people to understand that there is a way we can change it. And he has a quote, which I love. And again, the presentations were really about change and purpose in a lot of ways. And he talks in a very positive and affirming way. But the quote was, "Happiness is discovering and working on relevant and purposeful problems that can be pursued to create a positive, meaningful, and value-laden change in the world." And so think about that. I mean, really, we're talking about creating change. We're talking about making sure that value is there, but he has that kind of ground in that. So anyway, I love that quote, and I've used that in a number of different presentations with his permission, of course. But anyway, I wanted to share that.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And I love his enthusiasm for it. And I think that the other point that he tries to make, and I think we need to be cognizant of, is healthcare systems are going to be challenged in the future from multiple directions around who controls the, quote, front door to healthcare. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, and we get questions every week from SG2 member organizations about what's Amazon doing in healthcare, what's Apple doing in healthcare. And even if you look in the past several weeks about what's happened in terms of CVS mm-hmm. and Aetna, they made an announcement this past week that they're going to get into doing home dialysis. Now they're working with Dean Kamen and his technology group up in New Hampshire to develop a home dialysis system that they're going to provide to consumers. And if anybody can pull that off, as an aside, Dean Kamen can pull that off. But it's clear that they're moving more into trying to control the front door of healthcare. And I think that if you, as a healthcare organization, if you're not monitoring what's going on and you don't have a solution to be able to either partner with those individuals to provide those services or to address those challenges, I think you're going to be at a disadvantage going forward. And the organization that I keep coming back to, and SG2 people are tired of me saying this, is Walmart. I mean, I think that if you look at what, especially for some areas of the country where there's a shortage of healthcare professionals, we've seen a lot of rural hospitals closing recently. Yes. I mean, if you stop and think about it from a pure logistics perspective, even though those areas of the country may not have a hospital there, there's a Walmart there. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to Marcus Osborne, who's their VP of Health and Wellness Development, you'll hear they have a very aggressive approach to what they're going to do. And he's very in your face about it in the interviews that the reason that we're doing this is because you guys aren't. Mm-hmm. And their tagline about enhancing access through daily low-cost care is something that I think we need to be aware of and need to be, you know, ready to move on. Because if they decide to move quickly, they can turn on a dime and they can do it that way.
Talk about disruptors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Chris and Henry, thanks so much for sharing your perspectives on how to make innovation work within a health system. It sounds like it was a terrific event, and I'm really excited to see how health systems continue to use their innovation work as an engine to redefine their business.
Thanks so much for joining us today for this episode of SG2 Perspectives, where SG2 experts and industry thought leaders explore the drivers of tomorrow's healthcare strategies to inform today's decision makers. I've been your host, Trevor Durin. Contact us anytime by sending an email to sg2perspectives@sg2.com. SG2 revolutionized demand forecasting with the Impact of Change forecast in 2001, and today we're the healthcare industry's premier strategy advisory firm. To learn more, visit sg2.com. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to see you again soon.